What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This is one you just let breathe.
I am a real American.
Happy freaking birthday, America. The greatest country on God's green earth. And a happy 4th of July to you from all of us at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. This is the Pomp and Joe Show. I am not Pomp. Nor am I Joe. The producer today is not Austin City Limits. And if you ask him, that is the best thing on planet Earth. Dom DiTomaso behind the glass. Yours truly, Jack Hillgrove. Fired up to be with you from 10 o'clock this morning until 2 o'clock this afternoon. City Limits hosting the North Shore Tavern leadoff show at 3 o'clock, 3:15 this afternoon ahead of the Pirates and the Mariners. At 4:10 on these airwaves. Happy 4th of July. Hopefully you're celebrating. Hopefully you're celebrating and being safe while doing so. If you've got a pool, if you've got a boat, have fun. I have a pool. I will be headed there this afternoon. But first, I will be spending the next 3 hours and change with my good friend, Mr. Dom DiTomaso. Dom, happy 4th to you, good sir. Thanks for being with me this morning.
Happy 4th of July, Jack. I love this holiday.
It is a good one. I mean, sometimes I feel like the 4th of July has an unfair advantage over the other holidays as far as like when people say, oh, this is my favorite one, or if you're ranking your top five holidays. I think the 4th sometimes might have an unfair advantage because of the time of year it takes place in, the weather that's happening when it's going on. Now, something nostalgic about a white Christmas or snow on the ground during the holiday season that might bolster its chances too. But if you are, like I am, much a bigger fan of the summer than you are the winter, that gives the 4th of July the advantage big time over some of the other holidays.
Yeah, and it's, you know, nostalgic. You're off of school, or you remember being off of school, and so everybody's free, and today it's on a Friday, which makes it even better. So yeah, I mean, it is an all-time holiday. And I'm glad that we're here. We're at a good time. We didn't have to wake up too early. We'll be out of here at 2, get to listen to the Pirate game on the Fan, maybe enjoy a couple drinks and celebrate America.
Yeah, how about a big day for me? And Donnie was able to run the gamut this whole week. He just tweeted in the last 2 weeks, I've solo hosted the morning show, Pomp and Joe, PM team fan evening show, little Josh Harrison in him, which is hilarious because Josh Harrison's one of the great pirate utility men of all time. Me hosting the Pomp and Joe show today will have meant in the last year and change, I'm back at the station in a part-time hosting capacity I will have hosted all four. So this is the fourth and final of the 93.7 The Fan Infinity Stones that I've added to my gauntlet. I just need to add a couple of ancillary ones, like the Bucko Talk from 9 to 11. I filled in for Pomp on his program from 11 to 1. Sunday mornings I frequent. And then there's some other ones, too, that you got to throw in there, maybe special occasions. But we'll get there. We're having fun, and we're happy to be along for the ride, especially today. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, here's a rundown of what's happening on today's show. Of course, the biggest story of the day yesterday, Omar Khan's extension to continue to be the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What does that mean for Omar Khan? What does that mean for Mike Tomlin? What does that mean for the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers? We'll talk about that this show and do so pretty frequently throughout the 4 hours. Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, kind enough to join us on the holiday. He typically joins this program on Fridays. I texted Ray yesterday and said, if you don't want to, you know, holiday, I get it. And he's like, nope, I'm on. So Ray's a good guy. He'll join us at 11 o'clock. We'll get into Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey with Ray as well. That's a big-time acquisition. I hadn't been on the air on these airwaves since the trade went down, nor have I been on since Omar Khan's extension was announced. That was just yesterday. So I have some thoughts on both of those topics that we'll get into. Dom will fill in for the Bechtold breakdown at 12:30. Bob Walk, Pirates broadcaster, same thing. Texted Bob yesterday and said, if you've got fourth plans, no big deal. Walkie normally joins Joe and Pomp on Fridays. Walk's like, hell yeah. How about that? Did I tell you that?
No.
I texted both Ray and Bob yesterday and said pretty much, hey, I'm hosting, filling in for the guys tomorrow. I know it's the holiday. If you have plans, no sweat. If not, love to have you on since you're typically on Fridays. Ray, absolutely. I got a hell yeah from Bob Walk almost instantaneously. Hell yeah, looking forward to it.
Wow, what a real professional that guy is.
Yeah, absolutely, and he's fantastic as a color analyst. And at Waynesburg, Lanny Fratteri was my academic advisor. Lanny, if I had a dollar for every time Lanny called Bob Walk the best color analyst in Major League Baseball, and I don't know that I disagree. Walkie's phenomenal. Phenomenal guest on whatever program he's on this station as well. We'll talk to him at 1 o'clock. A couple of things we want to ask him pertaining to the All-Star game, Don Kelly's future with the club, and Connor Griffin. We'll get into Connor Griffin at 12:45, just before we talk about Bob Walk today. He was on with Jason Mackey last night on the Fan Evening Show. Connor Griffin is one of the best hitting prospects, or is on pace to be one of the best hitting prospects the Pirates have had. Maybe sits Andrew McCutchen or Starling Marte. I mean, the guy is got the potential to be an elite, elite swinger of the bat at the big league level, which is such a breath of fresh air, because for the last however many years, the only good Pirates prospects that we've seen and come up through the organization have been starting pitchers. One of the biggest gripes of the Ben Cherington tenure is the fact that they don't have or didn't have adequate enough prospects that play offense and hit the ball very well. Well, Connor Griffin's changing the mold in that, and had a couple of fantastic answers to Jason's questions last night. We'll kind of rehash that, and I'll give you my thoughts on Connor Griffin. And then a couple of ancillary topics about the 4th of July. Are fireworks overrated? Some of the greatest 4th of July sports moments of all time. And we'll run through our typical 4th of July cookout plates as well, with yours truly and Mr. D. Tommaso. So let's get into the six-pack, started by Bet365, and we will start with Omar Khan's extension. Do you have the soundbite?
Yeah, you know, I'm currently looking for it.
Good.
Jack, just start talking. Wait, no. I got it.
There it is. All right, so Omar Khan's going to be the general manager of the Steelers through 2028. Pardon Dom's poor producing skills, not having that ready when I asked him to. We'll forgive him for that. I thought it was the right move. I thought it was the right move because the Steelers right now, I think, have a pretty darn good if you throw Mike Tomlin out of the conversation, and it's impossible to do so because of how big of a footprint that Mike Tomlin has in personnel decisions as well. But if we're just talking from a sheer front office standpoint, GM and assistant GM, I think the Steelers have a very phenomenal combination with both. You've got your Omar Khan, the head honcho, the salary cap guru, the guy that not necessarily was a football guy, like the term that is thrown around nonstop in today's day and age when you're talking about the NFL. Is Omar Khan necessarily the football nut or the football guy? No, but he has a great way of navigating the salary cap, signing bonuses, being able to finagle players' cap hits in a way that is advantageous for the franchise. And the trades that have been made under Omar Khan have been pretty darn good. Now, this Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith for Minka, that'll yet to be seen. The Broderick Jones trade up a little. The jury is still out on that as well. But for the most part, Omar Khan's tenure as the Steelers general manager, I think, has been pretty darn good. You couple that with Andy Weidel, the football guy in that room. I think it's a perfect balance of maybe football nerd and just sheer football knowledge between Khan and Weidel, navigating the salary cap, being able to scout college and professional players. But to me, it only works. To me, it's only the most advantageous for the Steelers if Andy Weidel is still a part of the conversation. Andy Weidel made his name through helping build the Philadelphia Eagles into that Super Bowl they won against Tom Brady with Nick Foles, building up that offensive and defensive line into what it was. And you're starting to see, or at least on paper, shades of that in Pittsburgh with the amount of youth on the offensive line and a transitionary phase into some youth on the defensive line with guys like Y.A. Black and obviously the first round pick and Derek Harmon as the next generation on that defensive line, Keanu Benton as well. To me, it only works if Andy Weidel was a part of the conversation. And the question that I'm going to have for Ray Fittipaldo later, and I'm anxious to see his response or hear his response, is what does Omar Khan's extension mean for Andy Weidel? Does it just prolong the inevitable of the Steelers might put together a couple of better years than what we've been used to, and teams will be knocking on the door for Andy Weidel to be their general manager if they haven't already? I'm not necessarily putting words in Andy Weidel's mouth here when I say this, but I don't think it's not necessarily outlandish to assume that Andy Weidel probably wants to be a general manager in the NFL someday. And that's not going to happen in Pittsburgh because Omar Khan is here to stay through 2028. And you might say to yourself, well, Jack, he could lose his job. Sure, anybody can lose their job. But the Pittsburgh Steelers don't fire head coaches. Kevin Colbert was the general manager for the team for a very long time. And before he was the GM, it was Tom Donahoe who was with the team for a long time. And Kevin Colbert, when Tom Donahoe was the GM, had other roles in the organization, just like Omar Khan has. If Mike Tomlin ain't going anywhere, Omar Khan certainly isn't going anywhere until 2028. And until Mike Tomlin, the pinnacle of the player personnel decision-making, if that makes sense, that's Tomlin. And until he goes somewhere, then you might question the future of a guy like Omar Khan. But until then, those two are here to stay. And, you know, as somebody that covers the team during training camp and throughout the season, seeing the relationship that Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin have, it can only help the team. You watch those guys interact. You watch those two talk about each other, joint press conferences, things of that nature. I think they have a pretty darn good personal relationship and a better professional relationship, the more important of the two. And that can only help the team. You don't want your head coach and your GM having philosophical differences and hating each other. That's how teams fall apart. The both of them have to be able to put together a competent enough roster to win in this league, which hasn't really been the case in the last several years. But the two of them have a good enough relationship to where you combine that with the fact that the Steelers don't fire coaches or GMs. Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin are here to stay. Next, Luis Ortiz. What is it about the Pirates and just having degenerate gamblers on their team and then not finding out about it until they leave the team? Tucapita Marcano kicked out of baseball, and now Luis Ortiz is under investigation. Remember all of you out there, Austin City Limits included, bitching up a storm about Spencer Horwitz for Luis Ortiz straight up, concerned about starting pitching depth because you traded Luis Ortiz? Gambling accusations aside, that was a phenomenal trade. It would have been a phenomenal trade if Spencer Horwitz was like a 220 bat. He's hitting 250 in his first season as a Pirate. An everyday player at that position is vital. Stop gaps at first base of the Rowdy Tellezes and the Yoshi Tsutsugos of the world. One of the very many reasons why the Pirates were rebuilding for as long as they were. Think back to those teams in 2013 through 2015. And then like when they were building up to being as good as they were. Garrett Jones necessarily wasn't, you know, the best hitter on planet Earth, but had some pop. And was a consistent bat in that lineup and a consistent player at that position day in and day out. The Pirates have that now in Spencer Horwitz. And they traded away a what? Fringe starter at the best, fourth or fifth starter in your rotation who's got gambling accusations. Have you seen, Dom, the pitches in question?
Yes. Weren't they incredibly outside the strike zone?
So I guess what has raised big time red flags in the situation is because you can live bet stupid stuff. One of those things that you can live bet is what will the first pitch of the inning be? A ball or a strike? And in the game that he started against the Cardinals, Luis Ortiz, that was last weekend. It would have been Friday. Yeah, because I'm looking at it was Apple TV. Friday night game at home against the Cardinals last week. Top of the third inning, there was a ridiculous spike in wagers on first pitch ball in the top of the third. Ohio's Tate, Barstool Tate on Twitter, I just looked him up, has the video right away. If you just search Luis Ortiz, it should pop up. Do so responsibly, obviously, if you're out driving around, but look it up. The pitch that Luis Ortiz threw, again, an irregular influx of money came in on the first pitch of the third inning will be a ball. It bounced at home plate a foot and a half outside the strike zone, and the Austin Hedges or whoever was catching for the Guardians couldn't even get to it. It was the most blatant outside pitch of all time, which leads people to believe he threw that ball on purpose. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this, but I just find it hilarious that now two former Pirates might be kicked out of the game for betting on baseball.
I saw Jeff Passan say this when he was talking about it wherever, and he said that baseball particularly is a sport that you can do so much quote-unquote illegal gambling from all these players, and a lot of it probably goes unnoticed. Like, Jeff Passan pretty much said that there are probably players doing it, and we just don't know about it. And now Luis Ortiz is the next guy in line who's going to get flagged for it. I mean, this is a major problem for every sport, which we all knew was going to be a problem once it became legalized, but particularly baseball with the history that it has when it comes to Pete Rose and everybody else. This has the potential, Jack, to be something that starts out small right now with just Luis Ortiz. It could blow up into something major.
The other pitch in question, I guess the MLB is investigating two of them. It's that one against the Cardinals on Friday, and then in his start previous in Seattle, bottom of the second inning against Randy Arozarena, same thing, first pitch of the inning, large amount of money placed on first pitch ball, and it was just a breaking ball that didn't have a chance. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that, and Jeff Passan's comments are interesting because at the end of the day, too, like, you know, I do the Sunday same game parlay on Sunday mornings, which, by the way, hit for the first time, 1 for 11 now on Sunday. We'll have another one of those this Sunday, so let's try and make two in a row. Anyway, thank you. There's a crap ton of stuff you can bet on, like in prop bets throughout the game. Adds to the ever-changing variables of it to where you can just bet on a bunch of different stuff when it comes to being in a baseball game. So something to keep an eye on. Luis Ortiz might get thrown out of baseball. Another one. Will the Pirates come back down to earth? And I ask that question from a pretty basic line of thinking. Anybody with a pulse out there listening to the station is probably well aware of what the Pirates are doing. 6 wins in a row. Was it 43-4? 3 shutouts in a row. One of them a 1-0 game in the Paul Skeen start on Tuesday against the Cardinals, but 5-0 on Wednesday against the Cardinals to complete their second straight sweep. And the team batting average like at 340-something in those six games. But they were all in a row. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You throw an off day in there yesterday and a travel day out to the West Coast. Does that day off, that break in the momentum and the travel, you know, into a different time zone, long flight, will that hinder the Pirates at 4:10 this afternoon? Brian Wu gets the start for the Mariners, a 2.93 ERA and a whip under one. So he's had a pretty darn good season. And the Pirates also will face Luis Castillo on Saturday, George Kirby on Sunday. Kirby's not having that great of a season, but those are, you know, three of the best pitchers in the Seattle rotation. Three pretty darn good ones in the grand scheme of Major League Baseball as well. Will the Pirates offense come back down to earth this series? I think it's a very fair question to ask. And we're going to ask it to Bob Walk later on in the show. But Dom, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they will. I don't think we're going to see what we saw the last six games. Jack, I said this to you before the show. I was talking with a couple of my buddies yesterday, and we were throwing around, was this one of the greatest six-game stretches that any team has ever had in the history of baseball? And there's a serious argument that it was.
Yep.
So, no, I do not think this is going to continue. Do I think that they can keep the good times rolling, so to speak? Yes, but I don't think we're going to get 12-0 wins going forward.
A couple of texters on the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Hitting, coming back to earth, pitching has been as advertised. And that is one of the evergreen topics for sports talk radio in this town during this time of year baseball season. Pitching is advertised. And that is why it is so damn frustrating that the Pirates are constructed the way that they are by this general manager. The hard part's figured out. And the offense up until the last six games has been brutally bad. When you're relying on a 38-year-old past his prime to be the best hitter in your lineup, that's a problem. And the fact that you've got the best pitcher in baseball with no offense is incredibly frustrating, and it makes you question why in God's green earth and in good graces is Ben Cherington still the GM of this club. But he is. The draft's in like 2 weeks. The trade deadline's in another couple weeks, and he's going to be conducting all that, and we have to live with it. Next. What is this, four? We halfway through it? Yep. Some of the greatest 4th of July sports moments of all time, and we'll get into this later on in the program, but I wanted to spoil one right off the top. Lou Gehrig's iconic speech, calling himself the luckiest man alive after being diagnosed with a horrible, horrible disease. That was on the 4th of July. Not only one of the most iconic moments in baseball history, but one of the most iconic moments in sports history. Like 2 weeks ago, he was 2 weeks before that speech, diagnosed with ALS and forced to retire. Delivered that speech in 1939. That is like the heyday of baseball being America's pastime. And you've got one of the titans of the game standing so proud and so tall and putting on a great face for thousands of fans in attendance. And you know what your fate is. Gives you chills when you think about it. And I didn't really realize that took place on the 4th of July until, you know, doing research for that segment.
And it's a moment that has transcended sports. You don't have to be a sports fan or a baseball fan to know the iconic today, day, day, and the whole speech. It's, yeah, anytime you watch it, you get chills. It's incredible. It's incredible. And it's gone well beyond baseball.
For the past 2 weeks, you've been reading about a bad break, yet today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. R.I.P. Lou Gehrig, on this day in 1939, that iconic speech at Yankee Stadium was delivered. Number five, Joey Chestnut is an athlete. And if you follow Pony on Twitter and you can't stand some of his takes, I admire Pony in this business, and that might make some of your eyes roll out there just because you don't like what he tweets and you don't like his takes. But Andrew Filippone is a phenomenal, phenomenal radio talent, and we are lucky to have him in our market and at our station. But for him to tweet 43 minutes ago that Joey Chestnut is not an athlete, and if you think he's an athlete, you're a moron, that's just a terrible, terrible take. Oh, an awful take. ESPN, and we're going to go through them throughout the 4 hours, because Joey Chestnut, back in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest today after a year hiatus, he has a crap ton of other eating records, and some of them are unbelievably unfathomable to think about. 12 pounds of asparagus in 10 minutes. How rancid smelling was that guy's urine, and how long was that going on after that? 182 chicken wings in 30 minutes. 141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes. 15 16-ounce bowls of gumbo in 8 minutes. 103 Crystal's hamburgers in 8 minutes. 81 mutton sandwiches in 10 minutes. The list goes on and on. And that's impressive. And like, if you have to, like, my thought in it is, and some of you might have the opinion out there that it's not an athletic feat, but like, your stomach and your throat and all of that are like muscles and things of your, in your body. And if, when I think of the term elite athlete, if you work on training different parts of your body to perform a hell of a lot better than the average part of your body, like Usain Bolt's the fastest man alive, right? He had to like train his legs to be able to be a lot better than mine or Dom's. TJ Watt, the whole thing. Joey Chestnut's stomach and his gullet are better than the average human being out there, and that took training and hard work. So I call him an athlete.
I mean, professional eating is a sport. So by definition, he is an athlete. Now, I get that eating a hot dog isn't in the same category as throwing a touchdown. But, you know, like what you said, you have to train yourself to be able to do this incredible accomplishment and this incredible feat. So yes, he is an athlete. And not only that, Joey Chestnut is an American hero. And I don't like his name being disparaged on his day, the 4th of July. Joey Chestnut should be revered today. Right up there with all the greats, George Washington. He's right there. I couldn't think of anybody else to talk about besides George Washington. But yeah, no, he's an athlete. 100%.
Last one. So, I don't know if you saw this, and Shep on the Infinity Sports Network on my ride home on these airwaves last night was talking about this. So Caitlin Clark is really good, right? I don't know if you saw this, Dom. But if you've kind of followed Caitlin Clark's WNBA journey so far, and even back to her when she came on the scene at Iowa, for whatever reason, and for the life of me, I can't figure it out why she's just absolutely hated by other players. It started with the Angel Reese rivalry. That's continued into the WNBA. And her rookie year in the WNBA last year was like she blatantly blindsided attack, flagrant foul, the whole nine yards. Caitlin Clark is one of the best players in the WNBA. She's averaging around 18 points a game, all WNBA a year ago, and rookie of the year a year ago, right? So all WNBA, that's voted upon by, I believe, the sports writers the same way all the all-pro teams and stuff are as well. So all WNBA a year ago. And just recently, leading the fan voting for the WNBA All-Star Game, she's leading that. Caitlin Clark was voted the 9th best guard in the WNBA by fellow players. And I thought to myself, and I was much younger, and I don't even know, what year were you born?
2003.
Okay, so LeBron's rookie year, you were either not born yet or at the very least a newborn. I was only like 5 years old. Was LeBron James treated that way when he came into the NBA?
Not to that extent.
Caitlin Clark is a generational talent and has the chance to be the face of the league for the next decade plus, just like LeBron James has been. And I can't recall LeBron James being treated the same way he was as an 18-year-old kid, mind you, in the NBA, than Caitlin Clark has been disrespected by her fellow peers in the W. The ninth best guard, we're talking about the rookie of the year a year ago, one of the league scoring leaders, an all-NBA player from a league a year ago. She's at least by that point one of the five best players in the league. And she's leading the fan voting in WNBA All-Star voting. Why, by her peers, is she the ninth best guard? Other than just pure jealousy and pure hate for the fact of how great she is and how great she'll become.
It's definitely a jealousy thing. We saw it every year. Derek Jeter was always voted the most overrated baseball player by everybody in the sport. Tyrese Halliburton was just voted the most overrated player by everybody in the NBA. It's 100% a jealousy thing. There's no doubt about it. Which is, you know, the whole conversation around Caitlin Clark becomes so contentious. But, Jack, I don't know if you would agree with this, but there is an argument to be made that the impact she has had on the WNBA in a very short amount of time is like the impact Tiger Woods kind of had on golf,
sure,
at least
sure,
in terms of popularity and relevance, the impact LeBron had on the NBA when he came in, even though it was still very popular, Patrick Mahomes and what he's done for the NFL. I mean, they're kind of biting the hand that feeds them by taking their, by far, their biggest cash cow and just treating her like a punching bag, which I've heard people use that term before, and it's true.
And there's probably some frustration pent up behind that by players that had been in the league for several years prior to Caitlin Clark coming on the scene. Like, hey, I've been busting my rear end to make women's basketball as great as we think it can become, and it wasn't working out until all of a sudden she came along. Like, I've been working hard just like she has been, and I've been doing it in the league for a lot longer, and that's probably where a lot of the jealousy stems from. But I don't necessarily think it's fair to Caitlin Clark. She is certainly not the ninth best guard in the WNBA. She might be the best player in the WNBA, or definitely at least one of the top five, because she was all-NBA, all-WNBA as a rookie. All right, that was the six-pack off the top presented by Bet365. We'll come back with some of your phone calls at 412-928-9370. I want your take on the Omar Khan extension. Yay or nay? 412-928-9370. We'll get into that next on Pomp and Joe, without Pomp or Joe. I'm Jack Hillgrove on The Fam.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. This is Pomp and Joe. I am not Pomp, nor am I Joe. I'm Jack Hillgrove with you until 2 o'clock on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Have we figured out, Dom, is Austin coming in at 2 o'clock to do something before the North Shore Tavern leadoff show?
So I believe he's doing the leadoff show, correct?
Yeah.
I would assume he's coming in at 2 and then leaking into the leadoff show, but I'm probably going to text him and confirm.
All right, well, we'll get that squared away, but City Limits has the leadoff show at 3:15 this afternoon leading into Pirates at Seattle taking on the Mariners at 4:10. Bailey Falter on the mound tonight for the Buccos. We'll preview that a little bit later with Bob Walk, Pirates broadcaster, joining us at 1 o'clock. Ray Fittipaldo, top of the hour, talking Steelers. And that's what we're doing right now at 412-928-9370. I want to hear from you. If you're running around grabbing 4th of July cookout supplies and can call us safely, do so at 412-928-9370. I want your thoughts on the Omar Khan extension. Deserved, yes or no? 412-928-9370. It's been, I don't want to call it a roller coaster of from the success standpoint since Omar Khan took over as the Steelers general manager in 2022, but it's been a mixed bag of ups and downs. Like, when you think of being a general manager of a sports team, it's making moves, making your roster better. And you can argue that no GM in any sport can get off with some good momentum or get off on the right foot, so to speak, when it comes to personnel changes are concerned, than Omar Khan did. His first trade was Chase Claypool to the Bears for a second round pick. And how on earth that Omar Khan was able to say to Ryan Poles, yo, I want the first pick. And they didn't know it was going to be the first pick in the second round at that point. But I want your second round pick for this wide receiver who's a head case. Yeah, sure. It happened. The Steelers turned that into selecting Joey Porter Jr.'s 32nd overall. And since that trade, Chase Claypool, Dom, take a guess. Since Chase Claypool was traded to the Chicago Bears and he had floated around the Bills, I think the Dolphins, how many receptions? He's out of football, but how many receptions did Chase Claypool have post his Steelers career?
30?
Close, 22.
Jeez.
22 total receptions after being traded by the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you get a second round pick for that. And it ended up becoming Joey Porter Jr. And it's the best first trade a general manager could make. Probably the biggest, I don't want to call it upside, the biggest hit that he's had since taking over. But there have been some downsides. The Steelers have not won a division since 2020. They have still not won a playoff game since 2016, and there are still lack of postseason success and postseason runs since Omar Khan has been general manager. That is all very valid. But if you missed my first segment, the combination that the Steelers have of Omar Khan and Andy Weidel works, and I think it could work really well. But a lot of that, I think, has to do with Andy Weidel being able to balance the more X's and O's football mindset to the front office, whereas Omar Khan is, you know, your salary cap guru and being able to, you know, lead an organization and things of that nature, while Andy Weidel, again, adds the football mindset of things. So again, 412-928-9370, I want your thoughts on the Omar Khan extension. We'll start with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Paul in Washington. Paul, happy 4th, good sir. Thanks for giving us a buzz. What's going on?
How are you today?
I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in there. Well, all I can say is the con man, as he is known.
Con artist.
This is true. Con artist, con man, potato, patata. That's neither here nor there, because do we all really believe that Omar Khan is making the calls when it comes to trades and drafting talent and signing free agents? I mean, it's very obvious, although some host in the afternoon would like to disagree with that because they think they are the final arbiter on what's talent and what's not. But we're a mediocre football team.
Yep.
We're a mediocre, actually a poor baseball team, a mediocre hockey team, and we've got a bunch of mediocre owners that don't seem to really care about the product they're putting on the field. I mean, it's obvious to me and probably everybody else in this listening area, Mike Tomlin is calling the shots. Art Jr. is not going to fire him. The Rooney Rule is the reason why. And until we displace Mike Tomlin and actually get someone in there that can hire and draft talented football players, we're not going anywhere. I mean, this Aaron Rodgers fiasco is going to be just that. I hope I'm wrong. I'd be the first to call and say, hey, you know, can you put a little hot sauce on that crow I have to eat? But I just don't see it there, Mr. Hillgrove. I just don't see it. And I think Art wants a yes man for Mike Tomlin. And that's why he gave him the extension, because can you think of any other good reason why Art would have given Mike Tomlin an extension when we haven't won a playoff game and it seems like forever? Happy 4th of July to everyone.
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. Thanks for the call. And I mean, like, yeah, if we're going to sit here and I don't want to say split hairs, but yeah, split hairs as far as how the Steelers front office is constructed personnel-wise, Mike Tomlin has a pretty big stick in that argument. Mike Tomlin, I think, might carry a little bit more of an opinion, a more valued opinion when it comes to player personnel decisions. If you were to rank, like, who of all the 32 head coaches, who's got the biggest say in their team's front office decisions? Mike Tomlin is up there. But, like, Mike Tomlin isn't calling Ryan Poles and negotiating trade discussions on the phone, and he's not getting the second round pick for Chase Claypool. Mike Tomlin might go to Omar Khan and say, I want Chase Claypool the hell out of my locker room. And Omar Khan could say, okay, and that's how that decision is made. But as far as being able to negotiate the trade and negotiate what this team gets back, that reflects on the GM and always will reflect on the general manager, which is why I give Omar Khan credit there. Let's go to Bob in Bridgeville on the 4th of July. Happy 4th, good sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Oh, it's still morning, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm used to afternoons or evenings, so I apologize. But happy 4th, nonetheless.
Yes, happy 4th. I kind of disagree with you. Mike Tomlin is controlling the Steelers without a doubt.
I just said that.
Exactly. Well, he kind of stole my thunder. But as long as he's running the team, we're not going to get any better.
I mean, yeah, that could be an opinion that you have, but like at the same time, I still think Omar Khan has done enough as a general manager to earn a 3-year contract extension. That's the question that I have.
Yeah, but Omar Khan's done what we just got seen done. He's doing good, but Mike Tomlin has control of this team.
Okay, no, but like the question I had was about Omar Khan.
He's doing a great job.
Okay.
I mean, what we picked up in the last couple of weeks is awesome.
Yeah. No, and then that's the thing I was trying to explain after Paul's call, Bob, was like, yeah, I mean, I think Mike Tomlin carries a bigger decision-making stick in the front office and player personnel than most head coaches in the National Football League. But as far as being able to negotiate, like, what you get back for players like Chase Claypool and George Pickens and Minkah Fitzpatrick, I think that reflects more so on the general manager, and that's why I believe that Omar Khan deserves the extension. And if you look at the contract extensions that Omar Khan has been tasked with, you know, being able to put pen to paper for, and I think the TJ Watt one will work itself out, they've gone by relatively smoothly. And I think that also reflects on the general manager as well for creating an environment to say, hey, we're not going to ruffle feathers with the other side too bad. We're not going to create a toxic environment to where if this guy's holding out, it's not going to be like Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown or something like that. So I do think, and the TJ Watt one might take a little bit longer than the last time, but I think that you look at some of the contract extensions that Omar Khan has been able to do with some of these guys, and they've gone by pretty smoothly too.
Well, it says up to me, I'd run TJ Watt out of town.
Well,
he can go pine salt somewhere else. And we can get something good for him back.
That is definitely a topic that we can save for later in the show, Bob. Happy Fourth. But I'm not necessarily going to disagree with you. I was on the TJ Watt trade train a couple of weeks ago, and I am still on it. The 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler. 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Route 19 in Peters Township. Brain fart. Redo it. We're all good. Jay in Columbus is on The Fan. What's up, Jay? Happy Fourth. Hello, Jay. Goodbye, Jay. Call back if you realize that we had you on the air and couldn't put you through. Paul in Greensburg's on The Fan. Paul, happy Fourth of July to you, sir.
Happy Fourth of July. Good, great to talk to you. Just wanted to add a little bit about Omar Khan. Yeah, I think he deserves the extension. But I have to agree a little bit with what that guy said when he said Tomlin's running this team. The problem is everything could work out this year if Tomlin changes the way he approaches things to a degree. Because obviously it's just not been working over the last 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, and I think that was on full display. And everybody and their mother that's got sources and has kind of conferred and said the same thing a couple of years ago. Apparently Mike Tomlin was hellbent on Joey Porter Jr. at 17th overall and needed talked off that ledge by, I'm sure, people like Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, other scouts saying, hey, we can do this, that being trade up for Broderick Jones, and I have a hunch that Joey Porter Jr. will be there when we pick at 32. That ended up happening. And if Mike Tomlin truly would have had his way in the 2023 draft, I think that was 23, that Joey Porter Jr. would have been the 17th overall selection, and the Steelers might still have a hole at left tackle. They might not anymore if Broderick Jones is able to find a home there, and they still have Joey Porter Jr. Thanks for the call. Mike Tomlin was able to be talked out of that, and it seems to have worked out for the Steelers so far. So if Mike Tomlin can sort of check himself in that regard and maybe defer some power to Andy Weidel and Omar Khan in that tandem, that might be a little bit more beneficial for this team. Because, like, if you look at the New England Patriots under Belichick, like, he was the GM of the team, also in addition to being the head coach. Bill O'Brien was the head coach and the GM of the Texans, and that's happened several other places in the NFL in past and present as well. Mike Tomlin obviously does not have the title of general manager of this team, but it seems like he does, even though it's not officially on the table, officially, you know, on the title, so to speak. But nonetheless, when you boil it down to it, I think the extension for Omar Khan was the right move. If you can pair Andy Weidel with him through 2028 as well, it's an even better move. Because I think they're the perfect combination. I've said it once, I'll say it again. The perfect combination of salary cap nerd, salary cap guru, and football guy. Nico's on The Fan. He's our last call before the break. What's up, Nico? Happy Fourth.
Hey, happy Fourth, brother. I just wanted to touch on the Omar Khan extension.
Yep.
And the Caitlin Clark story from earlier from the six-pack, if you were still talking about that. I think the Omar extension is great. But it's kind of emblematic of where the Steelers are at right now. We're making some great moves for the future. That's extending Omar. But Mike Tomlin is still our head coach. What are we going to do? We know who has the final say in the draft room. How much does this extension change anything at all?
Yeah, I was just saying, Nico, too, like, you know, Mike Tomlin was checked in that discussion a couple of years ago. Mike Tomlin was apparently hell-bent on selecting Joey Porter Jr. 17th overall and didn't get his way. There were reports that Mike Tomlin wanted to draft Shedeur Sanders, and that didn't happen. So I don't necessarily know that Mike Tomlin truly has the final say. He's got a big say for sure, but I think he can be checked in that regard. And I think that Omar Khan's extension and the fact that he's going to be here through 2028, because he's definitely not going to get fired, will only bolster the idea of, you know, him being able to defer and check Mike Tomlin a little bit in those player personnel decisions.
Certainly hope you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, Mike Tomlin's going to have his way year in and year out, but like maybe as time rolls on, Omar Khan can build up a little bit more credibility as a general manager in the league and be able to take some of that power away. That's obviously remained to be seen, but I think that's like the optimistic way of looking at it.
Totally. Hopefully he can talk Rooney into maybe moving in a more offensive, forward-thinking direction in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Also, on the Caitlin Clark thing with her being ranked number 9, I was listening on the Odyssey app. I don't think I heard this. Just wanted to add a little bit of context. She's only played 9 games this year out of about 25. She's been injured this whole time.
Yeah.
So I think it's totally correct for her to be ranked 9th and to paint the WNBA as this league where jealousy and hatred are the only reason this woman isn't ranked higher. I just don't think it's a fair characterization of the league. So I wanted to say, have a great 4th of July, gentlemen.
Yeah, you too, man. Thanks for the call. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, if you're ranking players, she's up there. I don't care how injured she is or not. She's only played 9 games this year, but she's better than one of the 9, you know, 8 guards ahead of her in the WNBA, if she's hurt or not. I understand that side of it, and that's played into a factor, obviously, in the 2025 season, but come on. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. High of 85 today, perfect pool, perfect boat weather for the 4th of July. Low of 64 tonight, so be safe out there. Celebrate the 4th of July responsibly. Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joins us next. It's Pomp and Joe without Pomp or Joe. Dom DiTommaso and Jack Hillgrove on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.